Hello there, and we give you a warm welcome to our evening service. Most people have the announcement sheet, but we'd just like to remind folk that next week will be our communion season led by the Reverend Stephen Neely at our usual times. We'd like to again welcome Steve Wright to bring us God's word, and we thank him for it. So we'll just hand over to Stephen. Thank you.
Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let us now worship God together as we stand to pray. O Lord, our God, as we come to worship You again this evening, we remember that You are good, that Your love endures forever. We come before You acknowledging that You are God, that You are our Creator, that You made us, and so we are Your people, the sheep of Your pasture. We thank You for Your faithfulness. We thank You for Your faithfulness throughout our lives, but Your faithfulness lasts much longer than that. You're faithful to Your people throughout all generations. And so we come into Your house this evening to worship You, to praise You, to thank You for the great God that You are, and for Your goodness towards us. Lord, we thank You for another opportunity to do that this evening. We give You thanks for Your day. We thank You for this a period of rest that You have built in to each week. We thank You for this time that You have given us when we can step aside from so much of the busyness of the rest of the week, when we can spend more time worshiping You, more time thinking about Your word, more time meeting with Your people. And Father, we pray that as we do that today, as we do it each week, that You would use it to refresh us, physically, to give our bodies the rest that they need. But even more importantly, that You would refresh us spiritually, that You would strengthen us in our faith, that You would enable us to live for You in the week that's ahead. Father, we pray that You would be with us in this coming week. We have hopes and plans for this week. But you alone know the details of everything that will happen. And so we pray that you will be with us. We pray that you will help us, that you will enable us to live this week looking to you for everything that we need, that trusting you throughout the week, that we would live in the way that you want, in a way that pleases you, in a way that brings glory and honor to your name. Father, we ask that you would be with us this evening as we come here to draw near to you. We pray that, as you have promised in your word, that you would draw near to us. We ask that you would meet with us tonight, that you would help us, that you would build us up and encourage us. We pray that you would bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us now praise God together as we sing from Psalm 37. You'll see that all our portions of praise this evening are taken from Psalm 37, and it's this psalm that we'll be considering together tonight. But we begin by singing Psalm 37, stanzas 1 to 6, to the tune Warwick at 173. For evil doers, do not fret yourself unquietly, and be not envious of those who work iniquity. For even like the wilting grass, they wither soon away, and like the green and tender herb, they surely fade away. Instead, it tells us what we should do. Set your trust upon the Lord and only do what's good. Continue living in the land. Make faithfulness your food. That's Psalm 37, stanzas 1 to 6. Let's stand and praise God together.
Oh.
Please be seated. Let us now read this psalm from the Word of God, Psalm 37. Psalm 37, a psalm of David. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, to slay those who are of upright conduct. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadows, shall vanish. Into smoke they shall vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints, but they are preserved forever. But the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man, and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. Let us again sing to God, turning once more to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And this time we sing stanzas 8 to 11 to the tune Evan at number 85. Throughout this psalm there is a contrast between believers and unbelievers, between the righteous and the wicked, and between what will happen to them. Stanza 8. For those who evildoers are will be cut off and fall, but those who wait upon the Lord, the land inherit at will. At Psalm 37, stanzas 8 to 11, let us again stand and sing praise to God. Let's remain standing as we come to God in prayer. Our Father, we give you thanks for your word. We thank you for how you have spoken to us so clearly. We thank you that you have told us all that we need to know about yourself, about ourselves, about the salvation that you've provided for us, about this world that we live in, about how you want us to live. And Father, we pray that you would feed us from that word. We pray that each week as we hear it preached, that it would truly nourish our souls. We pray that each day as we read it for ourselves, that you would speak into our hearts, that you would build us up, that you would help us, that you would strengthen us. And Father, we pray that your word would work powerfully in this area. Father, we pray that as it is proclaimed in different ways, through meetings, through activities, through personal conversations with family and friends, that we ask that your Spirit would take that word, that he would use it to open people's eyes to the truth, that many people in this area would come to realize the reality of their own spiritual situation, that they would see their need of the Savior. We pray that you would be drawing many to yourself, that you would be building your church. Father, we thank you too for the work of our church's bookshop. And we thank you for the books that are sold through it each year. We thank you for the books that are bought at the summer camps and at other meetings. And we pray that you would use these books, that you would use them to help your people, to build them up, to enable them to come to understand more of your truth, to enable them and help them to live out in practice their Christian faith day by day. Father, we thank you for the different ways that you have given us to encourage us, to help us, and to strengthen us. And we pray that you would help us to make the best use of these, and that you would, by your Spirit, work in our lives to be drawing us closer and closer to yourself. Lord, we pray once again that you would be with us as we come to your word again this evening. And we ask that you would open it to us, that you would speak to us through it. In Jesus' name, amen. We live in a world where believers and unbelievers live side by side. And that can raise, on occasions, tensions and difficulties. That was true in the time of the Bible, just as it's true today. In fact, the first 40 or so books in the Psalm book, one of the themes that comes up repeatedly is God's people's interaction with those who are not God's people, those who are their enemies. And sometimes as we live in the world, believers and unbelievers, believers end up suffering as a result of that. And even in those first 40 Psalms, there is a series of 8 Psalms from Psalm 34 to Psalm 41 that speak of believers suffering in that context. This evening we're going to be thinking about one of those Psalms that speaks of believers suffering when unbelievers seem to be succeeding. As we look at our world, unbelievers succeed in many different ways. There are unbelievers who are very successful in business. There are unbelievers who are very successful in sports. There are unbelievers who are very, very successful in politics. I'm sure you can think of other ways in which unbelievers are successful. Psalm 37 answers the question, what should we do when unbelievers are successful? And as we look at this psalm this evening, we're really focusing on the first 3 verses of the psalm, but using those 3 verses as a springboard into the rest of the psalm. Hopefully it'll become clear what I mean by that as we go through. But as we look at the psalm tonight, I want to speak, to leave with you 4 words. The first word is wrong. We're going to think about the wrong response when unbelievers are successful. Verse 1 says, do not fret because of those who are evil. That's repeated again in verse 7. It says, do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. And again in verse 8, do not fret. It leads only to evil. The word that's used there for fret actually means to become hot. It has the sense of don't become agitated, don't panic because of those who are evil. The verse goes on to say, or be envious of those who do wrong. So unbelievers sometimes are successful, and so we're maybe envious of them. They maybe seem to have life easier. They maybe seem to have life better. Things seem to be going well for them, and we can envy them. But this psalm is speaking about more than that. Not only are these unbelievers successful, but they're also opposing believers. Verse 12 says, the wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. Verse 32, the wicked lie in wait for the righteous, intent on putting them to death. And so even in the context where unbelievers are opposing us, are fighting against us, and are successful in that, we're told, do not fret. Don't panic. Don't worry. We're not to be like Corporal Jones in Dad's Army, who runs around in a panic saying, don't panic, don't panic, don't panic. Do not fret. Don't panic. When we face opposition personally from unbelievers, when your friends give you a hard time, when you suffer at work, at school, don't fret, don't panic. Or when we face opposition at another level, when the government seems to be eroding Christian values from our society, when it's making laws that go against what the Bible teaches, when unbelievers are successful in their attacks against believers, God tells us, do not fret. So that's the first word, wrong, at the wrong response. When unbelievers are successful. The second word is reason. The reason why we're not to fret. The psalm goes on to say, do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Not only does God tell us don't panic about this, he tells us why we don't need to panic about this. Because these unbelievers who seem so successful, who are so successful now, their success will not last. And they're compared here to grass. But once it's cut, it withers, especially in the hot sun of the Middle East. And that imagery is repeated again and again in this psalm. And verse 10 says, in a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. Verse 20, but the wicked will perish, though the Lord's enemies are like the flowers of the field. They will be consumed. They will go up in smoke. These wicked that are oppressing us, these unbelievers that are making life difficult for us, that are inflicting suffering on God's people, that'll not last forever. They will not last forever. They will wither like the grass. They'll be burnt up like the flowers of the field. Of course, as we look at the wicked, they don't look fragile and temporary. They look strong and permanent. Verse 35 describes them, I have seen a wicked and ruthless man flourishing like a luxuriant native tree. They look stable, they look secure, they look strong like a tree. But soon he passed away and was no more. And though I looked for him, he could not be found. Even when they look strong and stable, they'll not last. I'll not say where it was, but I once heard directions being given to someone's house. You come out of this village, you take the road towards this place. You come to where there used to be a big oak tree and you turn up that road. Those directions aren't much use. You're driving along the road. You can't see where the oak tree used to be. You have no idea where it used to be. You cannot find it. And that's what the wicked are like. They're like that oak tree. It's no more. It's gone. It can't be found. And as we face suffering in this world, as we see unbelievers succeeding, especially as we see unbelievers succeeding in their efforts against Christians, God wants us to remember that they will not succeed forever. They will not last forever. One day they will be brought to an end. We don't need to fear them. But the other side of that is that if any of us are not believing in God, we will not last forever. We will be cut down and be no more. If you reject Jesus, if you ignore Jesus, if you're too busy to think about Jesus, one day you will endure this punishment. God will cut you down and remove you. So don't reject Jesus or ignore him or be too busy to think about him. Instead, come to him and accept the salvation that God offers in him. So we thought about the word wrong, the wrong response. We thought about the reason. And the third word is right, at the right response. How we should respond when unbelievers are successful. And I suppose the right response and the wrong response are really two sides of the one coin. The wrong response was fretting and worrying and panicking. The right response is the opposite of that. Verse 3, trust in the Lord. The word that's used there for trust means to feel safe, to be full of confidence. We are to put our confidence in God. We are to rely on him. We're to know that we're safe. Like a little child who gets startled and scared and jumps into their parents' arms. Once they're in the arms, they know they're safe. We're in God's arms. We are safe there. Trust in the Lord. And the psalm goes on to tell us more about that trust in the Lord, more about our relationship with the Lord. It says, delight in the Lord. We're to rejoice in who God is, in what he's done for us. We're to spend time in his presence. We're to be thankful for all that he is. Verse 5 says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. As we face this opposition, as we face these difficulties, we're to focus on God, we're to think about God, we're to think about him, not just the difficulties that we're facing. We're to take our lives, we're to take our situation, we're to hand them over to God, we're to trust them to him. We're to ask him to lead us, to guide us, to help us. Verse 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. In spite of the difficulties, we're to recognize that God is in control. We're to leave it with him, in the assurance that he will do what's best. Trust in the Lord and do good, verse 3 says. That's repeated. Verse 27, turn from evil and do good. Verse 34, hope in the Lord and keep his way. In spite of what's happening around us, our focus is to be on God, on him, on who he is, on what he does for us. But also our effort is to be put into doing what he wants, to live as he wants. We're not to let any opposition distract us from that. The wrong response, do not fret. The reason, the wicked will not be successful forever. The right response, trust in the Lord. The fourth word is reward. Believers will be blessed by God. And throughout the psalm, there's the comparison between believers and unbelievers and what will happen to them. We've seen already that unbelievers will be cut off by God. Believers, it says in verse 3, will dwell in the land and enjoy a safe pasture. The land is mentioned a lot in this psalm. I think it's 7 times. It's there in verse 3. Again in verse 9. Those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Verse 11. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. Verse 22, those the Lord blesses will inherit the land. 27, turn from evil and do good, then you will dwell in the land forever. 29, the righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. Verse 34, hope in the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. God's people will inherit the land. God's people in the Old Testament were promised the land of Israel. God gave that to them. And God was promising them that they would live in that land. Maybe we think that that doesn't really apply to us today. And yet, we tend to think of heaven, but the Bible rather tends to speak of a new heaven and a new earth. And so we will inherit a land. We will live in the new earth forever. And this psalm speaks of living there forever. Verse 18, their inheritance will endure forever. Verse 27, then you will dwell in the land forever. Verse 29, the righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. So it wasn't only speaking about the land of Israel. It was talking about something that lasted beyond that. It's talking about the new earth. Unbelievers will be cut off by God. But God will protect his people. He will keep us safe. And he will reward us. He will reward us beyond what we can imagine in glory with him. He will give us a land to live in peace and safety and security, where there'll be nothing to harm us. And it's not that we achieve that for ourselves. This psalm makes very clear that it's God who gives that to us. And verse 34, hope in the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are destroyed, you will see it. Again, verses 39 and 40. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. So as we face difficulties in this world, as we face opposition, we're not to try to survive that in our own strength. Instead, we are to look to the Lord to give us all we need, to keep us and to reward us. And he will do that. He will do that in a greater way than we expect, in a greater way than we can conceive. Verse 6 says, he will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Sometimes when things are dark, we need a light at the end of the tunnel. But when God comes to help us, he doesn't just send us a little light in the distance. It's not just a candle or a torch or even lights like this. What he's going to come, he's going to come and he's going to save us and he's going to rescue us, and it's going to be like broad daylight. Everyone will see that he has helped us. It says he will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn. Not that we deserve that, not that we are righteous in ourselves, but he gives us that righteousness because of Jesus. And as you read through the psalm, you see the righteous and the wicked being contrasted. And ultimately, the righteous person mentioned here is Jesus. Verse 12 says, the wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. Sounds quite like Psalm 2, doesn't it? The wicked plot against the righteous. Is God threatened? Is he worried? Not at all. The idea of people successfully rebelling against him is ridiculous. And so he laughs. Psalm 2, why do the nations conspire? The peoples plot in vain. The kings of the earth rise up. The rulers band together against the Lord and his anointed, saying, let us break their chains. Let us throw off their shackles. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. just like we face opposition in this world. And Jesus himself faced opposition. And he is the perfect example of how to deal with that. He didn't fret. He didn't worry. He didn't panic. Because he knew that unbelievers would not be successful forever. Instead, he trusted in the Lord. He continued to do good, to live as God wanted, knowing that God would reward him forever. What should we do when unbelievers are successful? Don't fret. Don't panic. Trust in the Lord and do good. Let's stand as we come to God in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your word and for how honest and realistic it is. We thank you that it doesn't paint the picture of the Christian life as being plain sailing without any difficulties, but instead that it tells us about the opposition and the struggles that we will face. And we thank you for what it tells us about how we are to deal with them. Father, we pray that you would help us to take what it says and to put it into practice in our lives. And we pray that we wouldn't fret, that we wouldn't panic, because we realize that ultimately the wicked will not succeed. Ultimately, they will be cut off. Instead, help us to trust in you. Help us to delight in you. Help us to commit our way to you. Help us to be still and to wait patiently for you. Help us to do good, to live as you want us to, knowing that you will give us a great, great reward with yourself in glory. Father, we pray that this would encourage us to continue living for you in this life, in spite of whatever opposition we may face. In Jesus' name, amen. We now sing another portion of Psalm 37. And we sing the final portion of the psalm, stanzas 26 to 31, to the tune Jackson 102. Wait on the Lord and keep his way. Exalt you, then will he, that you inherit may the land, the wicked's ruin see. Psalm 37, stanzas 26 to 31. Let's stand and praise the Lord together.
Amen.
receive the blessing of the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Amen.